take heed lest he fall. Before you get too high and mighty, thinking, no, not me, be ready for a fall. You're like taunting the devil. Not me. Oh, really? And God has warned us in all these verses to know who the other side is, who the other team is. The devil and all his demons, and they're active, busy, all the time. Lord, help us to face the reality that there are indeed chinks in every man's spiritual armor. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand, thus affording ourselves a strong defense. However, isn't that, is there truth in that? That old adage that says a strong offense is better than a good defense. The best defense is a good offense. Moving forward. And this is what brings us to the verse that Tom read. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. This is the verse that we're launching from today. In light of the devil and what we know about him. It struck me that in this verse, notice this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It struck me that that's what 2 Corinthians 7:1 is advocating, perfecting holiness. That's offense. It's doing something that it makes me stronger, that makes me holier, closer to God, that I might have victory over the devil and all his temptations. Perfecting, it's defined as this, to finish or complete so as to leave nothing wanting, to instruct fully, to make fully skillful. We need to perfect ourselves, to mature ourselves with holiness, and we need to help our children to grow, to be strong, to pursue holiness, offense, that they might have a strong defense. Otherwise, they're just like sheep out there to the wolves. And we hear story after story of young people who've gotten into sin and how their lives have gotten more and more convoluted and complicated. You say, how did that happen? They're so sweet when they're little. And they made this choice and they made that choice, and the devil raised havoc in their life. We've got to equip them, teach them how to become holier, how to live holy, how to draw close to Christ. Perfecting holiness or getting holier is getting closer to God. The closer we get to God, the closer we walk with him, and the stronger our defense will be against the adversary, who is real. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the will of God. And you can't get holier outside of spending time with a holy God. Yes, we are to put on the whole armor of God, but what God wants most from us is a close father-son relationship with him. Remember in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it said, having therefore these promises. What promises? What was he talking about? 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, be holier. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a wonderful truth. My Father will protect me. My Father loves me. My Father has warned me about the adversary. Stick close to me, son. I'm holy. Be holy, son. There's victory to be had. The cleaner I am, the holier I am, the more I conform to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be more like Jesus. The more I enjoy the father-son relationship and all of the blessings that accompany it, including a strong defense against the devil that hates me, that comes from being holier. What a tragedy when a son is estranged from his earthly father. How sad that is. And you hear of it. Or daughter from her mother. Parents and their children. Such a son is denies himself of all his father's blessings, of love, of provision, guidance, and protection. He's left vulnerable to the devil's attack like the prodigal son was. He had his father's love, his provision, his protection. He had everything. And yet he was persuaded to leave, saw brighter things. The devil was at work. And he spent everything that he had to the point where he was envious of a pig. He wanted the husk that he was feeding the pigs. He'd rather eat that than what he had. A man, a woman can get pretty low. Our teenagers, our young adults, some of them are in a mess. Hey, listen, our streets, our medians are lined with people that are homeless. If you'd ask them when they're 10 years old, is that what you want in life? No, not one of them. Something went wrong. Some bad choices were made. And the devil got victory in their lives. God, help us protect our children. It's a real battle. And God tells us these things in the Word of God to help us. Because He loves us and wants to strengthen us and equip us for victory. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead, to learn more about God. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the person, the work, and the doings, and the existence of a great God whom he calls his Father." The more you and I pursue to know our Father, what pleases Him, to be holier, to be more like Him, this affords us the great protection and strength and that offensive move of perfecting holiness, maturing in holiness, gives us the best defense against the devil who hates us, the destroyer. James 4, 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." That's offense. "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Defense. "Draw nigh to God." Offense. "And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify ye hearts, ye double-minded." That's perfecting holiness. Maturing in holiness. Becoming more. So, all that introduction. How does the child of God draw near to his heavenly Father? How does he cleanse himself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? How does he afford himself the promise of Almighty God to be his Father? How does he perfect holiness in his life? You know, the answer is profoundly simple. As much as maybe we have heard this morning, and some for the first time, about the devil. And we're all on the same page, understanding from the Word of God that he is real, he is alive, he hates God, he hates God's people. And he wants to fill hell with them. And this lofty battle. But there's a simple, profoundly simple answer. And quickly I'm going to run through these 3 points. Keep your eyes on the book, your knees on the floor, your feet in the church. When these are not in play, you're dead meat. You're no battle for the devil. Let him that thinketh he standeth, he thinks he stands. I got this, God, I got this. Thank you for your Bible. And sometimes I'm going to turn to it as I have need, but I got this. That's the average Christian. Now, maybe they don't verbalize that. It's not a conscious thing, but that's how they live. Subconsciously, this is how they're living. This is the motto they're living by. I'm all set. I got this until I don't. Then from the emergency room, I will call upon you. Because I got a desperate need. You're no holier than you were before. And if you're not holy, you're dead meat for the devil. Because the devil worketh among the children of disobedience. And we all have that sin nature in us. And he's looking for a crack in the door. So, number one, keep your eyes on the book. Remember what Spurgeon said? What ought to engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the person, the work, and the doings and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. Where does the child of God learn more about his heavenly Father? The Word. You learn from the Word. Man of God must bury himself in the Bible. He must learn more of his God, and it will keep him clean and make him holier and more son-like. Turn to Psalm 119, a few verses, and then we'll move to point two. I'm telling you, these 3 points are quick. Stay with me. Psalm 119. Beginning of verse 9. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you become holier, cleaner? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. No word, no clean. How many of every ladies have done your laundry and you forgot to put the detergent in? You ever done that? And you go, when it's all done, you go take it out, and it smells awful. No detergent. All the water in the world, you need detergent. You can add anything you want to your life to make you holier. Outside of the Word of God, there's no cleansing. Verse 10, David says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'll be clean and holy. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me. Listen, all these words referencing the Bible. Teach me thy statutes. That's a word. It's referring to the Bible. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. That's a Bible. That's the Bible. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. The Bible. I will meditate, verse 15, in thy precepts. The Bible. And have respect unto thy ways. The Bible. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will delight myself in the Bible. Thank you for it. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Thank you, dear God, for this book. He's opened our eyes this morning, no doubt for some of you, the truths about the devil, about Satan, about the adversary. It's all here. Everything you and I need is here. For victory. God will give us victory. So you got to keep your eyes in the book. It's been said other books were written for information, but the Bible is written for transformation, to change you and I. Perfecting holiness requires that you be in the book. No Bible, no holiness. Number two, by keeping your knees on the floor. No relationship prospers without communication. There's got to be talking. You got to talk, communicate. A man bonds himself with his heavenly Father by communicating with him on his knees. Prayer. So ask yourself, how much time do you spend in the Bible and how much time do you spend praying? How much time did you pray this morning? And our children, how much time are they in the Bible as opposed to on the phone? Some spend hours here. And if any time at all, maybe 5 minutes here. They're not equipped to win the battle when the devil comes after them. And they're going to join the ranks of statistics and failures. God never wanted that. You and I don't want that for our kids and our grandkids. We have to be the holy people from this book and on our knees that we might share it and transmit it to our children, have that same love and desire. Because otherwise they're dead meat. For the devil, he's too powerful. Elton Trueblood said, at the profoundest depth in life, men talk not about God, but with Him. Spurgeon said all the Christian virtues are locked up in the word prayer. No prayer, there's no Christian virtues in your life. Martin Luther said, to pray well is the better half of study. You see, it goes together. You have to be in the Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study the Bible and pray. Communication. Ian Bounds, he wrote many books, but one of them was Power Through Prayer. He listed great men in their devotion to prayer. And I'm going to read a few of these. I'm telling you, he has a list. It's unbelievable. But I can't read this list without feeling pretty small. Payson prayed in the same place every day, and it is said that he wore grooves in the hardwood floor. I got a love seat in my office, and underneath it, I have a pull-out cushion to pray on. I need padding. These guys are wearing wooden floors out. We're so soft. I don't care if you need a thick cushion or not. That's not the point. The point is he spent a lot of time there to wear the floor out. Are you wearing out anything with your knees? David Brainerd said, I love to be alone in my cottage where I can spend much time in prayer. Adoniram Judson, that great missionary to Burma, spent 2 to 3 hours every day with God, praying 7 times a day, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3, 6, and 9, and at midnight. I wonder what he would say was the secret to his success on the mission field. We trifle with prayer. We spend 1 minute, 2 minutes, fall asleep, get up and check a box. I prayed. So I were no holier than we were before we went down. We need much time in the Bible. We need much time in prayer. John Welch, he kept his coat by his bedside. He'd roll out of bed and weep and pray. His wife would try to convince him of his need to rest and to come back to bed, to which he would reply, woman, I have many souls to my charge. He had to pray. A man approached John Wesley saying, I have too much to do to spend 2 hours in prayer. To which Wesley replied, I have too much to do not to spend two hours in prayer. Wesley preached over 44,000 sermons, traveled over 300,000 miles by carriage and horseback, preaching and setting an entire nation on fire for God. What do you suppose was his secret? It's prayer. Tell you three simple answers. One, you got to keep your nose in the book. Keep your eyes in the book. Number two, keep your knees on the floor. Pray, pray, pray to perfect holiness, to mature holy before God. And lastly, keep your feet in the church. Well, that ain't all that important, is it? I mean, Pastor, if I spend enough time in the Bible and I spend time, how much time do I really have to spend at church? It's not me telling you to go to church. God does in the Bible. You must have a reason. You know, we need each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to laugh, tease one another. We need to enjoy one another. Because the devil's active out there, and he's beating us all up independently. We need to be encouraged. Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're not to forsake it. I don't feel like it this morning. I'll go next week. I certainly don't need to go tonight. I mean, the preacher whacked at us like crazy in the morning. I don't need that again. I'll stay home, watch a little baseball. You know, we rationalize all the reasons why we shouldn't be here. That's not very holy. That's not very godlike, Christ-like. He said, get to church. when they assemble, get together. I've ordained that you'd be together. And we often quote 25, Hebrews 10, 25, which I did. But there's some other verses around that give some more context to it. Verse 21 says, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Your faith gets encouraged and strengthened by being at the house of God. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." You're purer from having been at the house of God because of what's going into your head and mind and heart. "And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." You take a stand. You're professing to the whole world. Your house should be empty during the times that this service is going on here. And I don't mean you're at the lake. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke love." So it's not all about me, whether I want to go or don't want to go. "Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works." 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Well, they don't. They don't go. Thursday night, do you think I'm a fanatic? I'm going to go. You want me to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night? You know, they met all the time. "Me assembling ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hey, it's only going to get worse, not getting better. We need to assemble more and more and more. And have game time. Do some stuff together. Encourage one another. And sing. We sang over there. It was great. I apologize to those who are around me. But I love the words. We sang truths. It was great. We were encouraged. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long," in other words, if I'm delayed, I won't get there soon, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Truth is to be found here, teaching, preaching, in these words that we sing. Psalm 122, verse 1, I mentioned it before. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Is that you? I truly do like coming. I'm encouraged when I see your faces. A little handshake, a little nodding, smiling. It's by God's design that we would assemble. It would be nice to have this same number here tonight, Thursday. Thursday, I didn't do much preaching. I think I just shared one quick thought. I think it took 30 seconds because we had prayed the whole time. It was sweet. It was powerful. It was good. Perfecting holiness requires that our eyes be in the book, our knees on the floor, and the feet in the church. The devil is out to destroy you and your loved ones. The best defense against Satan is an offense, drawing closer to God. God has promised us a close sonship if we'll pursue holiness. And I'll close with that same verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Eyes in the book, knees on the floor, feet in the church. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We come to another time of invitation. But once again, the opportunity, the privilege to take what we have heard as we reviewed it in our mind and heart and to do something with it. What is God expecting in these next 2-3 minutes? This short time of invitation, he's expecting a proper response. You know, you teach your child something, you watch them, you look for a proper response. Did they get it? I wonder this morning, as God looks down and says, did they get it? Do they know that I love them? I sent my very best, the Lord Jesus, to the cross for them. I want them to have victory in their lives. I want to bless them and their families. And the answer is pretty simple, but it takes a decision. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around over the next several minutes, let's have this word of prayer. Father, I pray for this time of invitation that you administer.